the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. A few months ago, at the urging of a friend, I watched the 1964 film The Gospel of Matthew by Italian director Pier Paolo Pasolini. If you haven't seen it, it's an interesting take on Matthew's gospel with a very striking monochromatic cinematography and a very young unibrow Jesus who rattles off his Italian teachings in a stern staccato. And because I'm in this line of work, I couldn't just sit down and watch the movie like a normal person. Instead, I watched this retelling of the Gospel of Matthew with my Bible in my lap, and I followed closely how Pasolini translated the text into a visual medium. What I found was he was really faithful to the birth narrative in the beginning, the story of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, the wise men, etc. And then as Jesus begins to teach and call his disciples, he makes some small edits, remixing events to sort of smooth out the storytelling. And things are moving along at a pretty faithful and solid place throughout the Gospel of Matthew until you hit chapter 17. And he deletes the transfiguration completely. It doesn't show up in his account. It continues from his teaching right into Jesus' journey into Jerusalem and his passion and resurrection. And what I found after the movie was that I was stunned by the removal of this central event to the gospel. And I was talking with the friend who had recommended the film about it, and he was sort of surprised at my frustration and disappointment at this deletion, this omission. And that conversation forced me to articulate why I found the transfiguration more than just a random miracle among the many miracles of the ministry of Jesus. I think if you don't read the text closely, you can assume that this is just a doubling down on the claims of divinity on the part of Jesus. The gospel writer thinks, maybe if we make Jesus really shiny and have God speak from heaven again, they'll really get the point that Jesus is God. I don't think this is the case. Instead, the transfiguration of Christ is precisely the moment in Jesus' ministry where he makes the point of everything he has said and done up to that moment, and everything he will say and will do to come, extremely clear. He says, this is what it's all for. This is the point of everything, that God's glory might fully animate and illuminate the human form. In the famous words of Irenaeus, the glory of God is the human being fully alive, and a truly human life is the vision of God. All of this work, all of this teaching, all of this grace is for the living now. It is not for sitting on a heavenly cloud strumming a harp. Salvation, the Transfiguration shows us, is a lived experience in a real human body amidst real circumstances. God's glory, the Transfiguration shows us, can be visible now in the midst of all of the complexities and brokenness of human life. As I was thinking about the Transfiguration, I stumbled across an interesting line of thought that I hadn't been aware of before. Maximus the Confessor is one of several theologians who puts forward the idea that the Transfiguration actually did not happen to the person of Jesus, it happened to the eyes of the disciples. Jesus did not suddenly light up like a Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. Instead, scales were removed from the disciples' eyes to see the light which was already present with them. John, in his gospel, his prologue, encapsulates this in a way. Jesus, he says, was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Transfiguration is the moment in Jesus' ministry in which he makes the point of all of God's salvific work inescapably clear for his disciples. And not only is it an underlining and a highlighting and a circling and a starring for his disciples to get this point, but his timing, too, in teaching this essential lesson is intentionally precise. It's precise not only in the ministry of Jesus, but also in our lectionary. The Transfiguration is always the reading the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, the last Sunday in Epiphany, because I believe it is intended to be the specific lens through which we are intended to understand and interpret Christ's impending passion. Let me say it another way. The promise of the resurrected life, of God's glory present in our bodies and our lives now, here on earth, is not just a flowery idea meant to inspire and uplift. Instead, Jesus gives this piercingly clear lesson to his disciples right before they descend a mountain and encounter a demon-possessed child and his distraught father. Right before they begin their journey to Jerusalem and encounter his betrayal, his arrest, his trial, and his execution. What the point of all this timing is doing is Jesus is giving his disciples a very bright light because the days ahead will grow increasingly dark. He gives them the promise of a resurrected life to hold on to now because death and sorrow will soon engulf them. The lectionary gives us this lens to view our approaching Lenten journey because the Transfiguration assures us that God is present now in the midst of our earthly lives, not distant in a lofty heaven, and it promises us that salvation and resurrection will always have the final word. It does not, however, promise that death and darkness will not be present, but instead that the light of God's glory will accompany us in the midst of it and will walk by us each step of the way. This moment on the mountaintop will be the last flashing of Epiphany light, but it is, in many ways, the brightest. Just like the star which led the wise men to the child Jesus, which was most needed when the sky was dark and all bearings are lost, Jesus shines right before they descend the mountain. It is an essential moment of preparation before we experience Lent, yes, but it is also necessary equipment as we take up our cross and follow Jesus throughout the course of our lives. And so on this precipice, before we enter the desert, I pray that we might pray that our eyes might be transfigured to see the light which is already here, the light which follows and which guides, the light which prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, the light which will bring you from Calvary to the empty tomb. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Amen.